Lordy, lordy, look who's towardy. That's right. You are tuned into Gem Hunt, our family horror podcast, and this is our 20th episode. Woo! My name is Cody. You know, it's funny, these people, they go to sleep, they think everything's fine, everything's good, and they wake up the next day and they are on fire.
Okay.
That just happens.
Yeah.
Can't count on my hands how many times that's happened to me.
I'm Beth, and I would like to shoot a drone.
I'm Buggy, and I need to see a man about a horse.
Oh, shit, right now?
Oh, no. Whoa, that's going to be a long wait to see that horse. Mm-hmm. I tell you what.
Yep.
All right, so this is episode 20. We're 20 episodes old. Did y'all think we would make it to 20 episodes?
I don't think that far ahead.
That's because your frontal lobe isn't fully formed.
But I'm glad we made it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't even think that I'm going to make it day to day these days.
Real.
Anyways, I guess we should celebrate. We should buy a 20 sack, I guess, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, and we have to all down 20 shots to celebrate. 20 of them. Water
of H2O.
No, Pat Ron. That's beer. What we got it.
We could do, we could do 20 beer
gonna
shots.
Say Patron. I'm always going to say Pat Ron. Shout out Raina.
I have never heard Pat Ron before, but that is so funny.
That is pretty funny.
Some Pat Ron.
I'll have a quesadilla and some Pat Ron.
Some Pat Ron.
You remember when we were kids? This probably doesn't apply to you, but when we were kids and you save up enough money for a 20 sack and then you're just kind of at the mercy of whoever you know who happens to have weed.
So we didn't, we just would buy a quarter.
Yeah.
And it was 25.
I wasn't that sophisticated.
That's so nice for you guys. 25 for a quarter.
I think with legal weed, it's much cheaper.
I know. That's what I was saying.
No, they have like $40 ounce days.
Well, they do have $40 ounces.
Yeah, I was about to say that's like $5 for a quarter these days.
You could buy a joint. You could just go in and buy a loose joint.
I used to have to sell my clothes to just get an
eight. I used to
have
to sell my body.
Damn.
I'm kidding.
Okay, pause.
For Patron.
Anyway,
Patron.
Patron.
We're supposed to be going fast, and I'm slowing us down.
That's fine.
Okay, upfront business here. We're going to see No Roy the Curse tomorrow at the Hollywood Theater. This is a new series that Anthony, a.k.a. Carla Rossi, is curating, known for queer whore fame.
It's Anthony, though, right? Not Carla doing this series.
I believe it's just Anthony, yes. And I've never seen this on the big screen. And I got to say, this movie has been for a long time one of my favorite found footage films, mm-hmm. one of my favorite Japanese films, and then just kind of in general, one of my favorite horror gems. And I say that in the general parlance, not the Gem Hunt parlance, because this doesn't fit our criteria, but I still think it's kind of a gem.
A lot of people haven't seen it, and it's actually scary.
Yeah.
You've seen it, right, Bob?
Yeah, we watched it together.
Oh, right. It's actually kind of scary.
It's just trippy. That's why I like that movie so much, is that it's like trippy.
Cody tried to be the guy from it from Halloween, but the foil wouldn't stick to his jacket and hat. Like, he bought a jacket, and you're going to get mad at me.
No,
he bought a jacket
and
a hat.
Well, I mean, I was mad about that.
And there, he like tried all these different ways to like affix the foil, and without ruining the articles of clothing, it could not be done. And then I think you were like yourself at age 14 for Halloween that year or something, right? Was that year?
I don't remember. It doesn't matter.
That's a anyway. Crazy costume.
Yeah. We finally watched Heretic recently. Oh, yeah. What do you think?
It was good.
I thought it was fun. It was more fun than I was expecting. I thought it was going to be some boring religious thing, but then it was not. It was interesting.
Yeah, it was fun.
Have you seen it yet?
I know your dad watched it.
No, I have not seen it. It's on Shudder though, right?
Yeah, it's definitely worth a watch. Okay. So yeah, if you haven't seen No Roy the Curse or Heretic, check them out. If you watch No Roy, stick around after the credits. There's some stuff that happens.
It's
amazing.
It's one of those.
Yeah, and it kind of makes the film. Kind of like the movie we're watching or reviewing tonight. What movie did we watch for this episode?
The movie we watched was a Bob suggestion because, you know, I'm always crowdsourcing because I'm lazy. And it's called Night Feeder. And it was released in 1988.
A.K.A. Night Peter.
Oh, they're actually, yes, we've been calling it Night Peter. But actually, we're going to get into the details, but I really liked the Spanish, the also known as name was Cena Diabolica.
Oh, okay.
Which means like diabolical dinner or evil dinner.
Evil dinner.
Yeah.
That is pretty cool. What percentage of picks have been crowdsourced at this point?
For me?
Yeah.
I think the only one I didn't crowdsource was Mirror Mirror. I think, so I don't know. So if we're 20 episodes in, that means I've probably, I'm last in the lineup, right? So I've picked 6 or 7 and I would say 5 or 6 of them I have. Oh, except 2 of mine I haven't, because that one that kind of sucked. The Spanish one with the coins and stuff. Was that me or was that you?
Spanish with coins?
Do you mean like the like Brazil, like from the Brazil oh, yeah. one? The was Dark that you? Forest?
The Dark Forest.
That was me. Okay, yeah.
So Alucarda.
Black Forest was
so
me.
So I was thinking it was a foreign language one, but Alucarda, I think I also...
That was just... fire too. Don't diss on that movie.
No. Yeah. So yeah, I think I have... It's been 67% of my picks have been crowdsourced.
Nice. Mm-hmm. You know what comes up when you Google Night Peter?
Did you Google Night Peter?
A porno?
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure a porno.
Nothing. Nothing comes up.
So someone can get that domain.
Yeah, at least in the first 10 pages of results. I tried it at work because I felt like playing with fire and I didn't find anything good when I Googled Night Peter.
And now
there's a children's book that comes up. It's not called Night Peter, but it has those words in it. So,
is it like
something.
Black Peter?
No.
No.
Where do you even get pause?
It's a Dutch thing.
Yeah, Tom.
Black Peter.
Yeah, call Tom and ask him about Black Peter.
Okay.
Or call Peter and ask him about Black Peter.
Yeah.
Okay, Night Feeder, mm-hmm. 1988, directed by Jim Whittaker. Is this a real person? We'll talk about that a little bit later. Written by Linnea Du and Shelley Singer. This is the only feature-length writing credit for this duo. It is starring a handful of people, but there are really only 2 actors, real actors in this movie, I would say. I think everybody else is probably scenesters. Just a friend of the filmmaker mm-hmm. or, yeah, some scenester from the San Francisco punk scene. Mm-hmm. So we got Kate Alexander as Jean Michelson, our fearless reporter. Jonathan Zeichner, Inspector Alonzo Bernardo.
One Great person name. In this room thinks he's hot.
Hmm.
It's me.
Oh, boy.
He is hot.
Okay. All right. Cintra Wilson as Victoria. This is a writer and occasional actress who also had a cameo in So I Married an Axe Murderer, which is one of my favorite Michael Myers movies.
Mm-hmm.
Not the Halloween Michael Myers, you know, the funny Mike Myers.
The Canadian. Michael Myers.
And it's also featuring the Nuns. Mm-hmm. The Nuns is a San Francisco rock and roll band.
Featuring Alejandro Escovedo.
Indeed.
I said that weirdly. Escovedo.
The special effects artist, Jonathan Horton, went on to do some cool work, like he worked on Cronenberg's The Fly and Anaconda, which is a film that don't want none unless you got buns, hon.
Oh my God.
The music was by James Gillerman, and there was some kind of cool synth shit in this movie. Mm-hmm. And it was also produced by James Gillerman. Where can you watch this, son of a bitch? It's on Tubi right now, Amazon Prime. Free on YouTube, Midnight Pulp, which is a weird thing I've still been wondering about, and it does exist on DVD and Blu-ray. They don't got it at Movie Madness, but it is at Scarecrow. Okay, what is this movie about?
Okay, get ready. I'm taking... Oh, and I don't have my glasses.
Oh,
I can't see
no.
a thing without my glasses.
Velma.
No, I can see. This movie's set in San Francisco in the late 80s. When my take on this is that even cool stuff was kind of lame, just my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Starts with a murder and a nosy broad reporter named Jean. So she clues us into the fact that it's just one in a series of murders. I think there have been 2 before and this is the 3rd. The method of murder is people are getting their brains sucked out through their eye holes.
Which love that.
Yeah, it's kind of cool.
Sucking eye holes.
Sucking. Yes. Then there's a punk party. Jean lives in this loft and she's dating the guitarist for this band called Disease, which is spelled DZS. The band is actually the Nuns, who are a real band that are I guess, as cool as it gets for this time period and this sort of like new wave post-punk. And I'm sorry, I know they're all like cool people, but it's not my thing. I'm not trying to put value judgments in, but here I go. So at the party, Gene's friend actually becomes the next brain-sucking night feeder victim. So she's number four. She's found in a bathtub. The cops think the band is involved in the murders, especially because the band disease, there's also this street drug called disease mm-hmm. that's related to the band, and some groupies have OD'd on it. And there's some real like cool dialogue about these, you know, these stupid bitches that took the drug and they died. And traces of the drug have been found in the victims. So we kind of get to that because there's actually this pretty sweet autopsy scene. Like, it's kind of drags a little, and then we get to this autopsy and practical effects, cool autopsy thing. It's long. I feel like it's involved. And another piece of this is there's a bunch of sexual tension between Gene, our reporter, and what's the cop's name? Yeah. Alonzo and Gene are kind of like making eyes at
each
other.
He's just a little grumpy Gussie, just complaining, being a bad cop.
He's like, hey, broad, get out of my area. You know, that.
Hey, do you know your boyfriend's the murderer?
Oh, right. And so, yeah, her boyfriend's in the band, and it's like, he's, you know.
Do you know that? Why don't you have sex with me? Hey, you'll feel better.
It'll make you feel. So there is a sex scene between Gene and Alonzo, which mm-hmm. is like, the lighting changes, the music changes. It's pretty classic. There's also a homeless guy or a homeless adjacent guy that gets scapegoated.
The creeper.
Well, he's a sidewalk person.
I just like that phrase. He's homeless adjacent.
Do you know what I mean, though? He's just a sidewalk person. We don't know. He might have a place
implied
that he lives.
Implied homelessness.
And he's deformed. Ew.
Yes. He's like a Vietnam vet, I think they implied. Or he's some kind of vet.
Yeah.
And he's the creeper. They all call him the creeper. As these murders are happening in the neighborhood where he's, you know, going through garbage and stuff, he's getting scapegoated. There's a pretty cool thing with construction workers yelling at women, but then their brains get sucked out.
Well, just one of them.
I already talked about the cop and the reporter.
You can talk about it again if you want.
It's like goes into like, I don't know if there's actually sex, but it like feels like there should be sex. Like the lighting, the music, all of that I already said. So also Gene has, you know, part of this punk scene. She has this friend Victoria who has a baby. Oh, we see some scenes of the band like playing, like interspersed with stuff. And because it's kind of a music video, which there's something to that element that it feels like a music video. So Victoria, her friend, she goes to her house. Victoria has this baby. And oh, shit, it is the baby.
Spoiler.
Don't spoiler. But here's the thing. It's a spoiler. But the promotional materials, not that I don't think there were a lot of them, but like the cover of the movie.
It's a hand.
No, it's a baby.
I'm pretty
the old,
sure.
The original. We okay. can talk about this later.
So
we can argue about VHS artwork.
I'm also spoiling it because the movie is pretty much a drag except for the cop reporter fucking the autopsy and the fact that once you get to the baby, it's good.
Well,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, I have my own opinion, but we can talk. We can I'll talk table about that. That. I'll
so
table
anyway,
that.
It's the baby. And sometimes you have to battle a baby.
And what's wrong
sometimes
with the baby?
You have to,
and why is the baby that way?
I don't know, man.
I don't know.
Isn't it an alien? I totally thought it was an alien baby.
You're probably right. I mean, it's definitely a mutant.
They don't explain
I think it's
it.
Of the, well, I think they do a little bit. I think it's because of the drug.
Oh, the Ooh, drug. You you're so? Right. The drug made it like a
yeah,
weird
so
baby.
So the drug is like a kind of an interwoven, like they're, it's certainly not like an anti-drug movie, but this DZS band and drug are like bad, you know, like, you know.
No, yeah, no, it's definitely the drug that made the baby that
so,
way.
So, yeah, that's kind of the rundown. Yeah.
Yeah, kind of a mystery.
It's a mystery, but you if you looked at the original cover, you're
right.
Like, oh, the baby did
I
it.
Think the I think the updated like DVD and Blu-rays revise the cover so it's
Sorry.
Not so obvious what
Sorry,
happens.
It's
the
like
mystery.
A booby
That's
lady
okay.
getting attacked by a hand.
Yeah, by a hand, which is also a misnomer because what hand? There's no hand.
Exactly.
Yeah, his, well, yeah, baby's hands. Oh, that reminds me, you said a booby lady?
I did say a booby lady.
There's booby
One of
ladies.
The, my favorite quotes when I was reading, there's not much about this on the internet, which I'm sure we'll talk about. There's somebody who has a site called John's Horror Corner, and one of the lines I love was "bombarded by boobs."
Bombarded. Nice.
Anyway,
it's
okay.
My dream.
Right on. All right, we got a lot to talk about. I feel like on this one, even though it's kind of a simple movie, it's kind of basic, but it's shot on video, aka SOV.
Which I was today years old when I learned what SOV stood for. When nice. Bob told me about this movie, he said it's SOV. And I figured, you know, he is one of those people that knows a lot of nerd terms that nobody else knows. So I figured it was some like up in the like, yeah, whatever, like Bob and three other people know what this means, but it's a common.
I didn't know that existed.
Okay,
so.
Cool.
Yeah. Well, we've never done a shot on video review here on Gem Hunt, so this is another first. I always love first, so I'm gonna chalk that up as a fun little tidbit. Do you think that the quality of this film detracts from it overall? Like, is it a distraction to the point where it makes you enjoy the movie less?
Absolutely.
I'm going to have a completely differing opinion.
No, that's
about
great.
Okay,
that's great. Right. No, I love that because it's great. But okay. For me, yes, it does. And I think whoever wrote this movie is fucking hilarious. There's a lot of really funny dialogue. But the sound, the audio quality and the video quality really. And I was actually, this is something we talked about while we were watching it. Like, how high level would the writing, the dialogue, the idea have to be for it to like transcend this? And I don't know, but this is not there for me.
I think this movie's a pile of dog shit, and I love it because of that. I love the terrible sound design. I love that it looks like shit. I love that everyone's talking like they don't, like they're reading off of cards,
right,
immediately.
Totally.
It like gives, like, to me, like trauma.
It's pretty punk rock.
I love, like, that's why I like it. Like, I'm not saying like, oh, this movie's great. Like, no, it's not even like one of the best worst movies I've seen by a long shot. There
right.
are many better ones, but it has that star factor, that star quality of being
you
so
just like the
crap.
Club.
No, I like him. And that is definitely a huge motivating factor. That's like 80% of the reason why. But the other 20% is because it's so bad, it's good. And that's my favorite type of movie.
The first review I read it, there's not a lot about it anywhere, but on IMDb, one of the things was not so bad, it's good, just straight bad was like the headline.
Yeah.
Real.
And, I saw a handful that leaned that way. And then I saw a handful that were like, this is way better than I expected for a shot on video, low budget. So it was really weird. It was really divided. So there's a lot of people in your camp, and then a lot of people are like, this is shit.
And I feel bad. Like, I grew up.
And it's wonderful.
You know, I my heart is still punk, and I grew up a punk rocker, and I like the idea of the people, but it just now.
Poser.
Now I'm a poser.
Poser.
Yeah, I got to pay my mortgage, dog. Yeah. No, but
you're
like,
a poser, and you don't hate the bus anymore. So you're done.
I hate buses. That's the Suburbia reference. And that's my child. So I raised her well. I'm saying we're steeped in this. But now, like, Suburbia is just as punk rock, but it's film.
Well, yeah, it's better. That's just actually a good movie.
Film makes a huge difference.
Yeah.
The acting is just as shit. It's the
I
same
don't
kind
know.
Of
I
portrait
think that the acting has a different kind of energy in Suburbia than this.
It's an
There's
work
some
of
pretty
art.
Flat acting in this movie.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, there isn't that, too. Like, the dudes, the, like, the bad guys, the men
that
shoot
the dogs.
But that's
why it's so good. And it feels like they should be that way. Like, that's how they're supposed to be.
I just think that film versus video is huge.
Yeah.
It's huge. But it's anyway, huge. I cut you off because I got fired up.
No, that's okay. I was just going to say, as you know, your heart and soul is punk rock. My heart and soul and history is high class mansions and limousines.
Yes,
so
obviously.
I found it kind of jarring at first. You know, we have this bloody crime scene and an interesting score, but right off the bat, you're like, what is this video? Mm-hmm. What is this film quality?
It looks
and
like a
so,
porno.
Like, right out the gate, it's sort of confusing and distracting, especially when you get a good look at it, because it does bounce back and forth between sort of this daytime soap opera quality video
That's what
quality.
Gets me. Mm-hmm.
And then sometimes it's like art school film student first project on video quality. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes it's like bad 80s music video quality. Yeah. So it kind of bounces back and forth between those three aesthetics, which I don't know. Sometimes you like it and sometimes you're like, oh, I don't know. As someone that grew up watching 80s daytime soap operas, it's a bit of a struggle, I would say.
Yeah. I do think there might be a project out there that could transcend this.
I'm sure there is. I'm going to make one.
The dog is trying to get into the ottoman.
you stupid
guy. Okay, so let's get into the story a little bit. So we talked about the creeper, this homeless guy that's creeping around, and he is obviously the scapegoat, and he is one of the clear red herrings throughout this. Mm-hmm. But it brings up a question. How does this film handle homelessness as a social issue? Because I feel like a lot of the characters are gunning for this guy.
Yeah.
Especially our lead reporter just does not seem to like homeless people. Do you think it's a smart critique? Is it just a random detail as part of a semi-poorly written script? Any thoughts there? Or is it even worth talking about?
Well, I think, no, she is a little bit, yeah, she seems a little bit like, ooh, a homeless guy. And she is kind of like our heroine. So that's kind of weird to feel that it is San Francisco 1988.
That's a funny detail that I made a note of is it's San Francisco 1988 and your community only has one homeless guy and everybody knows him.
Yeah, and he's a creeper. And your band can afford to live in a loft and... Yeah, I thought that, so one thing, like I was saying before, I thought some of the dialogue was actually, well, it wasn't smart, like how people actually talk, but there were like random, weird, like literary references. And so you kind of, and also you think of punks as being like sympathetic to poor people or people that are like down on their luck. So it was kind of weird how she was like, did you notice that?
I mean, yeah, like I don't know. I feel like punks are just assholes and that's kind of the whole point.
So maybe they hate the creeper just like they hate a businessman. I mean, I just feel like when you're a punk, you side with the creeper.
Well, yeah.
Over the like corporate guy who wants to tear down the building that everyone's squatting in or whatever.
To be fair, I don't think this band came across as that punk rock. They seemed kind of lame to me.
So
somebody plays a fucking keytar in the video shoot at some point.
Awesome. Here's the thing about this. Alejandro Escovedo is really a cool guy.
That's true.
This era of music and some of his solo stuff is cool and earnest. And like this era of punk, though, is just not... I can't.
You just hate the 80s.
I do. I hate the 80s. You really I like. Do. I feel like... Well, I mean, I hate pop music in almost every decade.
You just don't
every
like
decade.
The 80s, especially, though.
But do you know what I mean? Punk with synths is really hard for me.
I don't know. I love a good, like, synth song. I like all the videos of people, like, dancing in the 80s at the club. I'm like, you already know. They were so fucking
I love Roxy fucking music.
Tell them.
But, like, Brian Eno is one of my favorite people in the world. But it's the, something about the, like, we're punk, but we're also, like, keytar.
And you just can't get behind that.
I can't. I mean, it's like, it's hard. Like, I hate Duran Duran. You're right. I hate the 80s. I hate
Duran
Duran.
You really
Duran.
Do hate.
I like two In Excess songs. Mm. I don't know. But yeah, there's something about pop punk of any era. I don't like pop punk.
I didn't even like clock that it was punk. Like, I just thought it was like new wave, like synth music. And
the
I was, like,
Nuns
synth.
Are a punk rock they band, are. Quotation mark.
Because I just like was like, this is
your
just
dad.
Some,
your dad
some new
likes
wave
them.
Stuff.
Yeah.
He likes well, everything from that era.
Yeah, because he's old.
So I did.
You married him,
that,
girl.
Cut that.
Girl, I don't know.
I'm not going to cut anything. I never cut anything.
None of this.
Unless I say something stupid. But
oh, editorial power. Okay, sorry.
Yeah.
We're off
well,
the rails.
I mean, the punk discussion is a good pivot to our next discussion topic. But I did want to close out this homeless topic with, do you know who the only character is in this movie that's sympathetic to the homeless?
Who?
The cop.
The cop.
Your
oh
boyfriend.
Oh, my God. My boyfriend.
The
I forgot.
The cop is pretty... not a shithead for a cop in an 80s movie with punks and quotation marks.
I don't know, Alonzo. I mean, I know you don't have any evidence or anything like that, but I just can't... I can't help feeling that that man, the one they call the creeper, I know he's involved somehow.
Mm. I think he's just a burned-out street person, you know? Most of them are harmless.
He's trying to solve a case and save people, actually, which is also interesting.
I love him.
All right. I guess it's punk rock time. You guys want to talk about punk rock?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Woo. Okay. Not a lot of excitement. I guess you guys actually hate punk rock.
I hate punk rock.
I had a phase. I had a punk phase.
Yeah?
I mean, I still like punk music, but I used to listen to, like, I don't even know, Sex Pistols all the time, which now I'm
right. Everybody does that when they're, like, 12.
Yeah, literally.
I like Corporations and
Starbucks.
The Supreme Court. I love the Ballad. Supreme Court. Just kidding. There's no one more punk rock than John Waters, I'm just saying. But we're talking about bands.
Juan Jotters. So the nuns play a significant role in the plot line here. Mm-hmm. And apparently there's supposed to be some dangerous street gang, but we don't actually ever see them do much of anything other than like rehearse in their studio with their keytar. So I don't know. These guys don't seem that tough to me, man. But what do you think about their inclusion in the film and the storyline? And then we can kind of just talk about punk rock and other movies, because there are punk rock horror movies out there.
Sure. Many. And also there are movies that have bands in them that are either playing themselves or playing a different band.
Yeah.
One thing I read about this is that the people who made it had made videos before, and that's maybe what they had done.
Yeah.
So it could be that sort of thing. The first thing that came to mind watching this was obviously Driller Killer, because that movie has, what is it? Tony Coca-Cola and the Roosters.
Tony Coca-Cola and the Roosters.
Yeah. Which, you've seen Driller Killer, right? Used to have the VHS. You know, there's a band that's central to the story. That's the first thing that came up. Then I was thinking about Green Room. That's a fictional band.
Yeah. Do you remember that movie Uncle Peckerhead we watched?
Yes, I wrote that on my list. That was good, actually.
Yeah, it was pretty funny.
It's like a band that's on tour in a van. You should watch. You would like that, too. I'm not trying to take over this part, but Hellbender. The Addams Family.
Not a punk band. But
not a punk band.
A rock and roll band.
Yeah, they're like a weird band. But I am taking a movie class that involves witches next month at Movie Madness. And Hellbender is one of the movies we're going to watch. So shout out to that. But
woo.
Yeah, it's another one where it's like the band plays, the stuff happens, the band plays. You go back to the band, you go back to the action, which this had a little bit of that.
Yeah, I did a little bit of research and I was surprised to find that there aren't a lot of horror films where a punk band just is in the movie as the band, mm-hmm. as like a component. This is one of the few films that actually has a band in it playing a different band that's kind of a central component, which I thought was interesting. I was expecting a lot more.
I guess I kind of didn't. I was just thinking not about punk bands. I was thinking about, you know, like in The Hunger, it opens with Bauhaus playing.
Right, yeah. And obviously David Bowie's in that.
David Bowie's in it, but he's not a, you know, a musician in
it. He's a sad little cuck.
Yeah, he's just a neutered male.
He is.
There was one other one that...
Well, we can't ignore The Return of the Living Dead, which is a very punk film. Mm-hmm. There's no band in it, actually. It's just a bunch of punks that are, you know,
such a
fighting zombies. But it's one of my favorites.
It's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's a lot of, there are movies where like punks are the heroes. Cause obviously, like, the idea of punk is that you're anti, you know, society, and horror movies obviously are often like, the regular people aren't paying attention to whatever the threat is. And so it would make sense that like underbelly, the night people that take the day people's money or whatever, the people who are on the fringes get hit with whatever the shit is first, right?
Yeah.
And so it makes sense in this movie that that's like where it's happening is in the like counterculture or whatever.
Faux show. Well, there's some other, you know, musician features in horror that are sort of punk adjacent. Sort of punk adjacent. Mm-hmm. We got Alice Cooper in Prince of Darkness.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Debbie Harry is in Videodrome.
Videodrome, I was thinking about that, yeah.
Yeah. Tom Waits played Renfield in Bram Stoker's Bram Stoker's Dracula.
Oh, I heard that Buggy was Bram Stoker. Yeah. I feel like that's something you said before.
I did say that.
All right. Any other movies with rock bands in it we can think of?
Deathgasm.
Oh, yeah. You say yeah.
He likes Deathgasm.
It's a great movie. And Zach is really hot in that movie. I love you, Zach. I love you, Zach.
I know I've seen that, but for some reason, I'm kind of forgetting what it was all about. I've seen it
too, but I don't remember it.
It's like the one where they find the like devil record.
Black magic.
And they like, the devil record, and they play it, and then they play the song to it, and then everyone turns into like demons from hell.
Nice. Well, while we're on the topic of music, let's talk about the soundtrack just for a bit, because I thought there were some really interesting moments along the way. However, there were also moments where it sounded like old James Gillerman was just drunkenly poking at a synthesizer, which was charming in its own way, I suppose. But kind of interesting, almost John Carpenter-esque.
Yeah, it was definitely a synth, one of those like vintage synth soundtracks. That's a bingo square.
Bingo square.
Not a bingo, but a bingo square.
Well, you can't have a movie with a vintage synth soundtrack without some cool special effects and gore.
Hell yeah.
How about the special effects and gore? Is it effective? Obviously, you mentioned the head dissection scene. Let's talk about that a little bit.
Okay, so the autopsy was the turning point in this movie for me. I was kind of like, okay, we're going to have some dialogue. It's going to be bad, and maybe some of it will be funny because it's bad. And then the autopsy was like, and you could kind of, it was obviously practical effects, and you could kind of see, it was like chicken cutlets is my.
Your theory.
My theory. It was cool. It was good. It was well done. Like, I really, they cut a skull open and examine it, and it looks plausible.
Yeah, they have to peel the scalp off before they can get in there, which was pretty good.
That's the chicken cutlet.
Juicy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, but you know what I mean? It's like they're peeling back the chicken skin, and underneath is like the breast or whatever.
Yeah.
It's, you know.
And it's, you know, I think part of the reason why that scene goes on so long is it's probably where they invested all their time and money. Yeah. And I read somewhere that they actually went and consulted with doctors to try to make sure it looked real or something.
It did. I mean, I've never performed an autopsy, but
yeah,
it looked pretty good.
It's kind of critical to the storyline to some extent also, because they do start to describe how and the possible ways that the brains are getting sucked out. I thought there was a lot of dialogue in this scene also that could have been like a sample from a Man or Astro Man album.
We've got this every damn time, Lonzo. You see here? The meninges, that's the tough outer covering of the brain. That's intact. Down here, you have the cerebellum and the brainstem, also intact. What's missing is all the soft tissue that makes up the cerebrum. That's the whole main part of the brain. The brain parenchyma. About 900 grams of it. Now that's a little like pulling a camel through the eye of a needle. You can do it if you melt the camel. And you can get the brain out through the eye if you liquefy it first. In all the others, I'm finding traces of a powerful acid on the meninges. At your lunch, I find it here too.
Maybe some other time.
The dialogue in this movie, I might have already said this, some of it is really fucking funny on purpose / not on purpose. I don't know which or both or whatever. But yeah, the autopsy dialogue. I mean, I remember I wrote down multiple pieces of dialogue just because they were pretty singular.
But other than that, in the end, what do you think?
About the whole movie?
Just like the effects and whatnot, other than that and our big end sequence.
I mean, I love a good practical effects monster baby. You can't go wrong with that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, shit hit the fan in the last 5 minutes. It got intense for... I don't even remember why the main character even went.
It was her friend. She was just like, oh, I'm coming over here because...
But she had, like, never...
You didn't really need to know that. You just needed an excuse to see what happens.
Yeah.
And I don't remember if, like, her friend was evil and was like, meh.
No, I think it was just her baby was fucked up.
Mm-hmm. That's why she was so weird.
Which... Her weirdness was charming, and it reminded me of other punk rock movies where punk rockers are just acting.
Love it. I don't know. It's very strange.
Yeah, you'd it's kind of weird.
You'd think that the public would be more conscious. You'd think a lunatic can just walk around here without getting caught?
People are getting murdered.
Nice. It's so strange. I don't even have to sample that scene, though.
No.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Actually, I'm a writer. I'm doing a magazine article on the atmosphere of fear in the neighborhood as a result of these murders. Would you be willing to give me your thoughts on it as a woman and as a mother?
I think it's just a disgrace.
Mm-hmm.
You can quote me on that. I mean, this is obviously some kind of maniac we're dealing with. And as far as I'm concerned, I mean, the police just aren't doing enough to protect the citizens.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you think a maniac could be easy enough to catch, right? I mean... They can't look normal. I think the police are scared to death themselves.
Mm-hmm.
I'd really love to talk more, but I've got to go.
Other than those scenes, though, I felt like there wasn't much.
Oh, there weren't many effects.
They leave you hanging, yeah.
But, I mean, there was just not much. It wasn't like, oh, that sucked. It was just like a lot of people talking. And then, I mean, when the construction worker scene... You don't see much, right? I kind of don't remember.
No, it's just a lot of, like, you see a lot of people dead after the fact.
Yeah.
Yeah.
An eye socket, you know, like, so the makeup after is all right.
That woman's husband, too. Remember?
Right, yeah.
Yeah, the construction scene was one of the biggest sort of, like, set pieces where they were building up to something happening, and there's some good
The good dialogue is fucking hilarious.
Hell,
like,
yeah.
That's, I mean, it... This movie had some real, like, yo, broads, you know? Like, I was just like, oh, my God, they're really talking this way that I joke all the time.
You know, still, it's weird. I mean, I know Monty's around here somewhere. I could feel him. You know how some guys you could just feel?
Monty wouldn't go anywhere without his truck. I wonder if he fell down when he was working last night.
Oh, shit, man. We should have thought of that before.
Yeah, you ain't kidding.
Let's talk about this fight scene, though. There's a fight scene in this movie that kind of feels like it comes out of nowhere. It's sort of near the end. It's almost, maybe you could call it the climax, I suppose. What do you guys think about that fucking fight scene?
Why are you looking at me?
Because I don't remember what he's talking about.
You guys
don't remember the fight scene.
Really?
It's boy stuff.
Are you telling me
my husband fighting somebody?
Versus...
You're telling me two girls don't remember two girls fighting each other?
Whoa, wait, two girls fighting each other?
Wait, so like the mom and Jean?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, when the baby thing starts happening, sure.
Yeah, it's like right before it, but it's like pretty epic. I was like,
this is like what we do every day.
Yeah, I know.
Beating each other up.
Can't talk to broads about anything involving broads.
No, we don't have any brains. They don't exist. Women don't.
They got
get those.
Sucked out through our eye holes
with a straw.
No. I thought. I mean, basically, the end of the movie made the whole slog worth it.
Yeah.
To me, well, I don't know.
Well, we're on that topic. Let's talk about the end a bit. And we already kind of spoiled it, but we could try to, like, talk about the end without spoiling it. And then we could ask people to plug their ears or whatnot. But
I also think it won't. I mean, I think it's, like, one of those movies where just watch
cares?
It. It's fun.
I didn't know it was going to be the baby, though. And then when it was the baby, I was like, oh, shit.
Well, I called it.
It's the baby.
I hadn't seen that cover, and I called it probably when she was pushing the baby in the stroller, I was
la-dee-da. Well, you know what's also funny is I've seen this movie before.
Oh, yeah.
Have you?
I've seen this movie before. Like, when I do homework, I always find, like, random Tubi movies to watch, and this definitely was one of them. And I remember being like, ooh, this cop is hot. And then, like, looking up, and I was like,
I can't stop baby. God. I'm going to do, I'm going to put you and the cop together.
Oh, I love him.
Like, Photoshop, you guys.
Do you like me making a kissy face and I can, like, kiss his cheek?
Yeah.
He's just some, like, dad guy.
And I love it. I'm so into it.
Anyway, Cody wants to talk about the broads fighting and the baby.
Well, no, I mean, I feel like this movie is kind of a slog until you get to, like, the last 5 to 10 minutes, mm-hmm. and then, like, a bunch of stuff gets crammed in. Good stuff gets crammed in right at the end.
Yes.
So we got this fight scene. I can't remember if it's before or after the fight scene. There's, like, this weird, almost, like, music video explanation of somebody in an insane asylum that I thought was pretty cool. Sets the stage for the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then out of nowhere, we get...
No, it's she's been in the... It's the mom.
Yeah, the mom.
Yeah.
And that, yeah, had something to do with the baby deformation.
Yeah, because she's on that... That I keep wanting to say SZA.
Was she one of the groupies? Was SZA that like was implied? Like, I don't remember they were like,
well, and three in the fire, groupies died.
And in the fire, like, no one could find their bodies or anything. Like, was she one of the groupies and that's why her baby's all wigged out?
Oh, maybe. I just thought she was on the drug and she, well, we obviously need to
do research.
Two right more. Now. There is no, here's the thing about this movie.
Wikipedia will tell me.
This movie does not have a Wikipedia page, which is crazy in this day and age.
Yeah, for sure.
So you might need to make one. But yeah, this is the first movie of all the movies we've watched, no matter how obscure they've been. This movie does not have a Wikipedia page.
Yeah.
And that's kind of cool.
I think it's kind of cool. So let's not beat around the bush. This is a killer mutant baby subgenre entry.
Yep.
And there's not a lot of them out there, but this is a real subgenre that exists within horror. Yeah,
we've seen a couple.
Yeah, I think, let's see, what is the kind of the classic? It's Alive from 1974 is sort of like the trendsetter for killer mutant babies, apparently. But then we also have The Kindred, which is a weird kind of sci-fi horror thing. We have The Brood, obviously, Cronenberg.
Oh, yeah.
There's a movie from 1990 called Baby Blood. I can't remember if it's a killer baby in that movie, but there's definitely like a mutant baby of some sort. That might be a Gem Hunt episode at some point. So yeah, we get an epic goddamn baby in this movie.
What's that Rebecca Hall movie?
The one where, what's his name, eats the baby?
Yeah, I guess the baby just gets eaten. But yeah. I feel like the baby was fucked up.
Resurrection,
yeah.
I think, or...
Reservatal. No, anyway, sorry.
That's okay. So I guess if there's one thing to say about this... Oh, and I should mention, the whole time I was thinking of Penelotter's Basket Case. Have you seen Basket Case?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's not a baby, but like it got me thinking about that, like... Somebody carting around something that they have to keep track of that keeps killing people.
And like a wicker basket, too. He's like carrying his Siamese twin in a wicker basket. And his twin's always like, I don't even remember what
they're
twin's
playing
feelings.
That at Clinton Street. Like,
can it talk?
Yeah, I think it can kind of.
Yeah. Not it. I guess him. Can he talk?
Can him talk?
He can maybe talk a little bit. I guess, long story short, if you, are having a hard time sitting through the quality of this, just wait till the end.
Yeah, it's worth it. I mean, it's worth it for that. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. A couple random production notes here. So the music and production, as I noted, was by some dude named James Gillerman, who doesn't have a lot of credits out there to his name, but his sister is named Joanne Gillerman, who is a visual artist in San Francisco, and I found a little blurb about her. She apparently was also the art production lead on this movie. And so Gillerman, The sister founded a company named Viper Optics in 1976, which was a video and computer graphics company. Founded it with her brother, musician James Gillerman, and artist Jim Whittaker. Why does that name ring a bell?
Oh, director.
Oh, because it was the director, indeed. And so this group produced multimedia shows, music, and art videos, and more accessible works such as video short Clone Baby, another baby thing. And then they did this feature-length film, Night Feeder. And I thought that was pretty interesting that this little core group mm-hmm. of people sort of have been working since the 70s, and this company actually existed all the way throughout the 90s. I'm sure it doesn't anymore, but they even did interactive multimedia works and censored controlled exhibits at museums and science centers. So that's kind of an interesting thing. And then the other thing I wanted to note, so one article had noted that this was a film written by women and that there was like a strong women's presence on the production team. And it posited that since the director, Jim Whittaker, had never gone on to do anything else, possibly this was a fake name for a woman director just to try to get a movie about a killer baby sold.
Yeah.
Because this is an era, obviously, and this is still a problem of women not getting opportunities, but definitely in the late 80s, I think that's a thing.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not the case. Obviously, as we've just discovered, Jim Whittaker is a real person. And the article I had read came out before the Blu-ray was released. And Jim Whittaker does a director's commentary on that Blu-ray. So.
And you see his dick.
And you see his butthole as well. Weird. Yeah. You see him insert his own dick into his own butthole.
I was actually going to say that, and that's crazy. Great minds.
Yeah.
Great minds.
We have that thing. What do you call it?
Telepathy.
Yeah.
You got the shinin.
Tep leprosy.
Okay.
Okay, we've done some good work here, I think, on our analysis. Let's talk about our thoughts and feelings. Who wants to go first?
Mm.
How about you?
It's your movie.
I'll go first because I picked it. I ended up enjoying it, but I really felt like I had unfurled the turd at the beginning to go back to some old like joke language around this house. But the video quality, the audio quality kind of took me out of it. And then that made me feel bad about being a sellout, you know, like I need everything to be shiny. But it's not true. Like I like film. I have a hard time with video. This is even true of Inland Empire. But then when I watched the restoration, I felt better. So yeah, I have a real hard time with video. I loved the autopsy. The chicken cutlet head was incredible. And that's what all. And I like broads doing things.
Indeed.
Doesn't.
All right. A lot of people, actually. They voted.
Well, I'm curious to hear your input on this because it seems like you were really feeling it.
Well, yeah, I've seen this movie before and I remembered like being like, huh, that was fun. I liked that movie. And I watching it again, I was like, this movie is so fucking bad. I love it. Cause that's just like, to be honest, like that's, again, as I said, like my favorite thing ever is bad movies. And it is bad. It looks bad. It sounds bad. Mm-hmm. I mean, the quality is just pretty much terrible in any way, like in every way, but it has that comforting, like, daytime soap opera feel. It's got that like fuzzy sound and I'm into it. I like everyone's outfits also, and their hair is really fun.
You played.
I love 80s hair. I think it's very great, and I love all of the chunky jewelry. To me, it's just very fierce. My mom hates it. She's a hater. She was like, I don't know, how old were you when this movie came out? Like 9. She was 9 years old with the bowl cut being a hater. So
I was over there with my bowl cut and my giant teeth and my like penguin sweater going like, why is their hair so crunchy?
Literally, that's a perfect example of you. No, thank you.
Their hair's too crunchy.
Ew. I don't like that.
I don't like
mom,
that.
Mom, put a bowl on my head and cut around it.
My mom could not even. That was way above her capacity. She could whoop your ass at sports, but she never cut nobody's hair. I'm not kidding.
Who cut your hair like that?
I went to a salon.
And they cut it like that?
Yes, multiple times.
Dude, like it's so, like it's a dome. That's like the craziest.
Well, I got a dome.
Yeah.
They're trying to like conceal it. So
well, you had to because that way everything you said was off the top of the dome.
It's true. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately for me, my hair is really curly.
Yeah.
So a bowl cut was, anyway, that's why I hate the 80s, because a bowl cut with curly hair.
A bowl cut.
Was hard for me.
Yeah. Well, here's what I have to say. I love this pick. I love the pick of this movie because I feel like it fits perfectly within the spirit of Gem Hunt.
Yes, that's, that's why I crowdsource, bitch.
Right, which is like, you know, for me, like, I just want to watch random horror films that aren't on my radar, and this definitely wasn't on my radar. I had never heard of it. But with that said, I do have some critiques.
Right.
I'm okay with cheap-looking films, but I struggled with this one, and it wasn't so much just the video quality. It was an issue, but I think I could get over it, but there was just other elements that I couldn't get over. The sound wasn't great.
That's like, hard.
The dialogue, just, there's parts in this movie where the dialogue and the music are happening at the same time, and like there's a huge mixing issue where you can't really hear the dialogue over the music, and I think that's a problem. The sort of disparate contrast between the sort of like soap opera looking stuff,
the sex scene,
yeah,
oh my god, love
that. I struggle with that as well. So
this is an audio nerd's take. This is a style nerd's take. And then someone who's just open.
I do have a critique.
Yeah, I'm closed-minded.
No. You're an audio nerd. But finish, sorry. Before you get to your...
Do your critique, because I'm curious.
Because it's related to sound. Did anyone peep the phone calls in this movie? Because, like, you were talking about dialogue overlap.
She was on that,
and every goddamn time she's on that phone, it's like, really? Oh, really? No way.
Okay,
no way. Really?
Cool.
And I'll, it's like, they're still like, they haven't even finished their sentence yet, and she's already like reacting to it.
Yeah.
No, and that's another thing. There's some writing issues and some directing issues and some acting issues that
there's a lot, you know, of issues.
There's some issues.
I had fun with it, but despite being charming, I just thought the story wasn't that great, and the payoff is amazing. The payoff is great.
Yes.
But ultimately, this isn't a movie that I would want to watch again just for the payoff, I don't think. I'm kind of getting ahead of myself, but here's one thing I want to add, and this is from a review, and it's very, very important. So here's the quote. There are no fewer than 5 women's boobs in this not-so-classy and obscure horror film.
Mm-hmm.
However, it is always somehow not raunchy or brief enough that it feels smutty, despite the volume of nudity. Not only that, but these must be the most boring boobs that ever graced the screen. I never knew I could care so little for boobs until this film came along. I don't know. Now, this came from John Levengood, who writes for Movies, Films, and Flicks.com.
Yeah.
And I thought that was funny.
Does he just review the boob?
I did read one thing about all the murdered women happen to have one boob out.
Yep, that's true.
It is true, which that's a little bit, that feels a little not smutty.
Boobs. They're what's for dinner, I guess.
You got them. Who's got them? Who loves them? You can't live with them.
You can't live without them.
Okay, we had feelings. We talked about boobs. Let's do a quick obscurity rating one. IMDb votes 263. Wow.
Low.
IMDb critic reviews 6. Rotten Tomato reviews 0. You can find this, I think, 5 different places online right now. And as I mentioned, there are DVD and Blu-rays. All in all, on our little obscurity rating matrix, this is an 8, tied for first. There's a 3-way tie for first at 8 right now on our list of 20 films that we've reviewed. So let's do the thing that we do after we do that thing, which is vote on whether this is a gem or a turd or somewhere in between.
I heard we could do halves now.
I just did it because other people had done it.
I had done it before.
It doesn't count, though.
Yeah. All right. So on the count of three, with some poop and some piddle.
Oh, gross. Piddle.
Three, two, one.
Is this the first?
We've done it. We've uncovered an official 100% yeah. turd.
Three. Don't.
And, it feels bad because there was obviously a lot of love
that went into this,
and there was a lot of fun. And the end is a hell of a good time.
Yes. The special effects people and some of the writing, they really did a good job.
But ultimately, not a great film. It would be hard for me to recommend this unless you really didn't have anything better to do.
Except if you wanted to watch a bad movie on purpose, which sometimes people, like my child, do.
Yeah, I love trauma.
Yeah. Trauma's over the top. So much more over the top.
Yeah, this is trying. I feel like this is trying and completely hampered by its budget and probably lack of resources and whatnot. Mm-hmm. Trauma just kind of goes with that. So, I don't know.
I just watched The Toxic Avenger again.
Oh, boy.
I always wanted to cornhole me a blind bitch. One of the greatest lines in cinema.
Okay. Let's do our new segment. Tonight's segment is brought to you by Beth. What are we talking about tonight?
Okay. Bo is afraid.
Afraid of what?
Yes!
Everything. And okay. So this movie is certainly not in the running for Gem Hunt because it is like a big movie. But I feel like not a lot of people saw it, and we had all seen it, and we had had a certain experience with it, but I wanted to revisit it. Buggy loved it.
I love it. It's amazing. So good.
Cody and I went to see it in a theater where we usually go and eat dinner and have drinks, but the day we went, dinner and drinks were not available. I feel like I had to pee for the entire movie. I'm just setting the stage for why. The first watch was kind of a hard watch for me. It felt very long. Watching it at home, knowing where it was going, I loved it. I thought it's one of the best movies I've seen in the last few years. Best new movies.
It's so funny.
I also want to say that I rented it at Movie Madness, and it was filed in the cult actors section under Parker Posey.
Yeah.
Which that's fucking ridiculous and adorable. And I loved it so much. Like, I was like, I bet I can triangulate where this movie is. And then I was like, no, I have to ask a person or use the computer because what? Speaking of Parker Posey, the number of fucking incredible actors giving incredible performances in this movie. I don't know if I've ever seen Joaquin Phoenix do anything better.
No, like, that whole movie is just like...
He fucking kills it. And it's like, yeah. I don't know if for him it was a therapy exercise to just be like, your worst... Like, can you imagine you get the opportunity as an actor to be like, be your, like, what you fear the world perceives you as. And just go out there and do it. And then... You know, obviously, Patti LuPone, Nathan Lane. Oh, what's her name? From The Office and The Wire. And she's so good at being, like, subdued. The mom that's with Nathan Lane. Mm-hmm. She's incredible.
I know no one.
Anyway, I feel bad that I didn't. Amy Ryan. Her name's Amy Ryan. What a great fucking movie.
So funny. And I finally, like, I have had, like, this random Joaquin Phoenix meme forever. And it's just, like, him standing, like, naked in the street, super, paranoid. It's from that movie. I've been a fan since the beginning.
Birthday Boy Stab. Well, we always, the first time we saw it, the beginning of it, Birthday Boy Stab Man, you know, I worked downtown in the city during a pandemic where basically no one that didn't have to be there was there. And it felt very much like, you know, your worst fear of a day at work. And I love, you know, pro city all the way, always. But that was such a good representation of that fear. Like, when he leaves his apartment building door open, propped open, and everybody just floods fucking in. I wanted to just a couple, I'm not going to go on forever, but I read a couple reviews of it, like contemporaneous reviews. New York Times said it was supersized, fitfully amusing, self-important take of Fear and Loathing. Hmm. And I'm like, that's funny. LA Times, the theories that they had was the mom was behind it all, like the whole time she was orchestrating it. And proof of that is that like collage you see that makes her face, all the people he runs into along the way are employees of his her company. And the second theory is it's all inside his head. Like he didn't take his medication right. Mm-hmm. You know, you're supposed to drink water with it.
Yeah, and he did.
And he didn't. Or he did eventually. And then the third one is it's both those things.
I think it's both. Because I think it's a representation of like how he views the world. And I think the main reason he views the world that way is because of his mother and like what she told him.
Sure.
And how she raised him.
So what I have to say on watching it again and really loving it is I feel like it's just sort of like not, I don't know. I don't know what Ari Aster's like, who is the director of this movie, if you're totally like not familiar with this. I don't know what his story is. I don't know if it's personal, but I feel like it's just a very like what we're all going through, like primal scream experience, yeah, where you're like, everything is fucked up. I don't know what to do. I'm trying to do the right thing. I'm like trapped in this thing. Everything is going wrong. And I just really loved it and it really resonated. And it's one of the best new movies I've seen in the last 5-10 years. And I'm really glad we did that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm glad that we had another chance to watch it because I'd been wanting to.
So let's vote on it.
We don't
vote on. Well, I guess we could.
And I feel like also justice for Ari Aster on this film, because I don't think it's that a lack of people didn't see it. It's that like it wasn't what people were expecting. And I don't think people like enjoyed it, which made me so sad because the way
it's
I viewed this
funny.
Was just like Ari Aster getting to do whatever he wanted to do.
There's a giant dick.
There's a giant dick. There's like so many things. There's a guy on the ceiling that falls down. There's like the girl who eats paint. Like it's incredible.
Oh, the paint drinking.
The play is so trippy and
so
weird.
It is a horror movie. It is not a horror movie. I think it's genius, epic, brilliant. It's like this guy got unleashed to do this thing. I think it did take some shit. I do understand that if you had an experience like we did in the theater where you had to pee and you were hungry, which I think Cody is a better person than me. So he was just like, I have to pee. I'm going to the bathroom. So he missed something. But me, I just sat there like uncomfortable. So probably the last 45 minutes of the movie, I was like half focused because I had to pee so bad. But I, two thumbs up.
No,
I love
it's
Beau's
really
friend.
Like relatable too. Like you were saying, like it was so like relatable. Like I've resonated so much with Beau, like just in a sense of like, this is how I feel internally all the time.
Because your mom is a lot like his mom.
Yeah, that's why. Mm-hmm. That's why.
I'm kidding. But I was thinking about like how much I was not talking. I was talking to somebody else about it. And they were like, oh, your daughter? Your daughter really liked? And I'm like, oh, does that mean I'm Mona? But no.
No.
It's not a corporation.
It's just also one of the best movies ever. Like, it's also just the way my brain works. This movie, like, hits every note I ever want in anything.
It's funny. It's beautiful. It's well done. It's clever. It's different. It's epic. But yes, I was not a hater, but I was definitely, like, a middle-of-the-road guy. And I am really glad that is what I have to say about Beau is Afraid. And I promised I'd keep it short, and then I did not do that.
It's okay. I also helped add to that.
That's good. And you didn't get to talk at all.
Well said. I just wanted to say that I really liked Beau is Afraid because it's a story of a man with gigantic balls.
Oh, right. Also, well, I don't want to get
literal
into
balls. His balls are gigantic. You get glimpses of them every once in a while.
Because he's got their,
he's never banged anyone before because he's afraid of dying.
Condition.
Because his mom told him that that's how his dad died.
Right. And so he's just like so full of sperms.
And he kills Parker Posey because of it. He kills her.
And she does a great job.
Indeed.
Okay.
Okay.
On that note, your balls can kill you. Well, your balls can kill you. Get them checked.
Yeah. Well, let's wrap this up because our dog's freaking out and he's pissing me off. I haven't picked a movie. However, I do have two options lined up.
Okay.
One possibility depends on logistics. The other is a backup plan. And I also don't know what my segment is, but if I have a segment, you'll hear it when you hear it. All right. Happy 20th episode, everyone.
20! Woo!
Let's hear it for two or three more.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Womp, womp.
Good night.
Good night. Damn. 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 Slit your wrist. Fucking bitch. My suicide shot. My suicide shot. Stole my joke. You loaded pump. Damn. 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 Slit your wrist. Fucking bitch. My suicide shot. Dirt dogs on a gym hunt.